Horizon turned 6 this year, and if you're interested in like what some of the early things we were saying about the church, I have down here after the service, come take a look at some of our early informational flyers and things we would hand out to people. Here's one of them right here. And you can kind of see how my graphic design skills have improved over the years. And you can see how some of the things we're saying have been exactly the same, and some have changed. After 6 years, though, it's usual for an organization to see some missional creep, to see some mission creep. And really, churches lose direction when it loses sight, lose sight of why they exist. Mission creep can stretch an organization so thin and so far, they can no longer successfully pursue their goals. In the business world, it would be preposterous, I can't say that, it would be ridiculous, I can say that word, for a coffee company to be like, well, now we also make trading cards. Or to say, you know what, we also are going to get into the biotech business. You'd be like, hey, stay in your lane. You're really good at making coffee. Why are you trying to do these other things? Yet churches routinely extend their operations in bizarre ways. They expand their programs far beyond their organizational scope and far beyond their core competencies. And no one raises an eyebrow. We're just like, oh, that's just what they do. They're doing more and more. They may not be good at it, but they're doing everything, right? In other words, it's easy for churches to lose sight of who they are, why they exist, and how they should be operating. So I've been teaching through a series on our 5 core values. We've been evaluating how we're doing on them, casting vision for the future of our church as we pursue these objectives. And each week I've asked everyone to name all 5. And so there's been a little bit of a different audience each week. So sometimes we can name all 5, sometimes we can't. What are our 5 core values? Don't go to it yet, Michelle. That's cheating. Our 5 core values are Jesus-centered, people-driven, community-focused, kingdom-minded. We exist to equip people to live and love like Jesus. Today we're looking at our third one, community focused. And once again, this core value comes from the way Jesus operated. So we're going to look at a passage together in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how do you make it salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, many of the churches I grew up in, good works or good deeds was a bad word. They were all concerned about people who might try to earn God's love through good works. So all I heard about was how bad our good works were, or how my good works were actually bad or insufficient to earn God's love. And there's some truth there. We don't have to earn God's love through good works because he already loves us. But Jesus isn't against good works. Maybe they thought that was obvious, but I heard so much against good works. I got to the point where I was like, I'm just going to not do anything because good works are bad. Bad works are bad. It all seems bad. I'm just going to try to do as little as possible so I can stay in this neutral zone. The New Testament authors aren't against good works, though. Jesus isn't against good works. I like what Dallas Willard used to say. Grace isn't against effort. It is against earning. And I think Jesus would argue that while good works don't save you, only he can do that. He saves us in order to do good works, to join him in his mission to reconcile heaven and earth. I mean, that's literally what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. And all kinds of Protestant churches are like, yeah, yeah. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And you might be like, Alex, why are you belaboring this? Why are you going on and on about this? Why don't you just move on so we can go to lunch? Because Protestants, especially in America, have made the fact that good works can't save you the central idea of their message. And I think an unintended side effect of that, at least in my life growing up, was we have produced Christians who are hesitant to do good works lest we be accused of trying to earn our salvation. And this core value that we're going to talk about today, being community focused, is all about doing good works for our neighbors and our communities. And so before we get into it, I think it's just essential that you understand where I am coming from. We've had a lot of people over the years who have left the church because of this core value, or who have told me they don't get it, they don't understand it, they don't know why we do it, or they told me they don't like it, that it makes them feel bad or uncomfortable. So I just want to be very clear about why over the last 6 years of our church, we have worked in food pantries and done free landscaping and picked up trash, supported Special Olympics events, hosted free egg hunts, made balloon animals, millions of balloon animals until my hands smelled like that terrible rubber from balloons, and done face painting in the heat hour after hour when there was a long line of angry kids and parents because we were giving away free face paints. We've done all these things because we are saved for good works. We are saved to join Jesus in providing a glimpse of a kingdom where everything is free and joyous and no one is excluded or hungry or hurt. The church has a mission to do things that give people a glimpse of what it's going to look like when Jesus is king. Now, I believe that people won't believe the good news until they see us doing good works. Until people see that we are a force for good, they won't believe that we have a message that is good. Too often, churches preach a message to the world before building trust with them. That was pretty much exclusively how I was told to share my faith with growing up. It's like, go up to a stranger and tell them that they need to believe this and pray this and do this. And you had no trust there, and they're like, I don't know you. Why should I believe anything you have to say? We so often wonder why our message falls flat, but we give messaging without building trust first. We build trust by doing good. Good works, finding ways to serve our neighbors and the community, builds trust with people far from God, and the good news of Jesus moves at the speed of trust. And over again in Horizon story, I can go back to you and I can show you people who were hesitant about us or outright antagonistic to us, who slowly became friends and allies of our church because we served them. They saw that we weren't about self-promotion, but we were about sacrificial love. Take, for instance, the fact that we're sitting in the Arts Center today. And it was almost 8 years ago I started volunteering at the Arts Center and serving out here in the gardens, doing whatever they needed me to do, hauling gravel out back, digging holes, whatever manual thing they didn't want to do, I did for them. And I remember when we first started services 6 years ago, and I was like, hey, could I maybe use the Arts Center for space? And they told me, absolutely not. We will never have a church here. We are against religion. There will never be a church in this building or on this property. Thanks for all you do. And they expected me to never come back and serve again. But I was back the next day to serve again, and I continued serving for years and years and years. They asked me to come on the board. I became on the board, and then I came on staff. And when we lost our other building we were meeting at, and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, they said, why don't you meet here? We like you. We trust you. We know you're going to be a safe person to be here. And I'm like, wait a minute, it's just 3 years ago you told me there would never, ever be here. That's the power that community focus has. The ability to build trust changes everything. When somebody tells me no, I'm like, you know what? If we build a little bit more trust, that no might be a yes. Here's how I define this core value in my early notes when I was figuring out what would be the deciding attributes of our church. We want to serve the community, not be served by it. We want to help organizations do good in the community, not replace them. I've seen that so many times where churches come in and they're like, they have a food bank. We're going to have a better food bank at the church in order to replace that one so people have to come to the church. And I'm like, why don't you just support the food bank that's already there and make it better? We want to ask the community what they need, not give them what we think they need. There's a local church in my neighborhood of Ardmore, and they're a good church. They do a lot of things. One of the things they do is they give out food, and they publish it. They're like, we gave out 300 boxes of food this week. It's great. It's a great thing. But some of that number is a little bit like you're bragging about something that you're tweaking a little bit, and here's why. They literally pulled up on our street. We live on a poor street in Ardmore because we have less money than a lot of Ardmore, right? And they were like trying to give me a box of food, and I told them, hey, I may live on this street, and you know, my income's a little bit lower than some of Ardmore. I don't need this food. They're like, just take it. We're just giving them to everybody. And I'm like, I don't need it. Don't give me something I don't need. Give it to someone who needs it. And they're like, we just need to get rid of it so that we can, you know, say that we gave out this amount. And I was like, this is a problem. You're doing a good thing, But sometimes we start to do good things and we start to give the community not what they need, but what we think they need. One of the things I wanted to do was ask the community, what do you actually need, not what I think you need. I don't want to just start something because I did it before, or I saw other churches do it, or I think this is what you need. What do you actually need? I wanted to go in first with listening rather than immediately thinking I had the solution. We want to celebrate local businesses, restaurants, and schools in our community. We don't want to be a people who complain about the community. Well, this one hits me. I complain about this community a lot. We want to celebrate our community. We want to be cheerleaders for the community, not for the bottom line of our church. I wanted us to sacrifice time that we could spend on the church, money that we could spend on the church, and instead give it to the community, make a positive impact. Now, for me personally, this was an additional core value. This isn't for the church itself, but for me as the pastor, I wanted to live and work in the community where we started our church so that I knew the needs, issues, flaws, and strengths of the community firsthand. After we moved here, we started by asking, who is hurting and how can we help? Where are there pain points in the community? What are people upset about? Our community is incredibly affluent, so often needs look different than they do in Kensington. You go there and the needs aren't hidden. They're very obvious. They're right in their face. I had a friend who planted a church in Kensington, and he's like, I didn't have to ask what the needs were. The needs slapped me in the face. Here I had to ask, because wealth doesn't make needs go away. People still have needs. Wealth just makes it easy for you to cover up your need, or to make it look like it's not on the surface, it's not in people's face. My church planting mentor, David Pearson, every few weeks he would sit down with me after I moved, and he'd essentially guide me through this process of starting a church. He had started two around the Philly area and been involved in 15 more. Every time we would meet, he would ask me this question: would Bryn Mawr, Haverford, and Ardmore, and Havertown miss you if your church suddenly ceased to exist? And I'm like, I've been here 6 months. Like, nobody even knows I'm here, let alone would they miss me. But he would ask me that every time we met. Would people who didn't believe like us miss us because our church was such a force for good in our community that they wished we were still around? It's a question that still haunts me and compels me. We live in a very unique cultural moment in America right now. For the last few decades, the majority of people in America have kind of had this attitude. You go to church, that's good. It's not for me, but I'm glad you found something. That's your thing, that's great. I'm so glad it's working for you. Church isn't my thing, it's not for me. They were kind of neutral about church. They weren't antagonistic about it. They're like, you want to go? Great. Don't ask me. I don't want to go. But you go. Have a good time. I'm glad you found something. I have Netflix. You have church. It's fine. Like, do your thing. It's all good. But there's been a shift where a growing number of people don't think they're just neutral about church anymore. A growing number think church is dangerous, if not outright evil. They see churches as out of touch, bigoted, racist, or bastions of toxic nationalism. For a lot of people in our city, saying you belong to a church is like saying you belong to a cult. You can watch them instantly tense up. And there's certain demographics and communities who come into the arts center, or come into my work, or I meet in the community, and as soon as I say I go to church, or especially if I say I'm a pastor, you watch the tension rise in them because they're like, oh my gosh, this person is a threat to my mental health, maybe even a threat to my physical well-being because they attend a church. We spend so much time trying to get people to come to our churches, but we rarely offer them something they actually want or need. And I think the accusation, I think, is a just one. It's that people know way more about what the church is against and know almost nothing about what it is for, because we have spent so much time being against things and spent so little time being for people, for communities. We need to be for our community. Horizon exists for the good of people in Haverford and Lower Merion Townships, for the good of Havertown and Bryn Mawr and Ardmore, for the good of Montco and Delco. That's why we exist, not so that they can serve us, so that we can serve them. We have to do that if we're going to change this perspective that the church is evil and dangerous and toxic. And I hate to say this, it has been. There have been churches that have been that. This isn't just imaginary. There are churches like that, and we have to stand as a stark contrast against that. Sean, who used to attend church here and moved down to Florida with his wife Angie and family, told me when he moved to Havertown, the local priest from the Catholic Church on the corner, a few blocks from his house, knocked on his door a few days after moving in and said, "Welcome to the parish. Here's how much you owe in dues to the Catholic Church." And Sean was like, "Hey, look, I'm not Catholic. I haven't been Catholic since I was a kid. I don't owe you any dues." He's like, "Hey, you live in our beautiful parish community, and everybody needs to give, so this is what you owe." And so here he was, this guy who he had never met was on his doorstep within a few days of moving, pressuring him to give money to a church he didn't attend and was never going to attend. Now, I don't want to just pick on the Catholics, but most of America, at least here in the Northeast, think the church is only after your money at best. At worst, they're after you to conform you to their very narrow vision of what life looks like, regardless of how that hurts you or harms you. They think the church sees them as resources to exploit. If we're going to overcome that kind of thinking, Horizon must be a radical force for good that over time convinces people that we aren't interested in self-promotion, we aren't interested in bleeding them dry, but rather, like our Master Jesus, we are willing to self-sacrifice for the good of others. We will let ourselves bleed out for them. Now, people have asked me over the years, why did you throw Easter egg hunts for 3 years with thousands of eggs that cost thousands of dollars for the local business association for free? Did it bring people to your church? No, it brought zero people to our church. In fact, some people left because they were so mad about packing thousands of eggs with me. It was good for the community. It was good for local businesses. That's why we did it. People have asked me over the years, why did we do free balloon animals for hours and hours and face painting for hours and hours for 6 years at the local Bryn Mawr Day Fall Festival? Did it bring people to the church? I've had one person come to the church from Bryn Mawr Day over the 6 years we've been here. He's no longer here, by the way. It was good for the community. That's why we did it. It was good for local businesses. People have asked me, why did we pick up trash for weeks and weeks, year after year, along Lancaster Avenue and water plants that they put out, weeks and weeks, summer after summer? Did it bring people to the church? Nope, no one's ever come as a result of that. It was good for the community. It was good for local businesses. If we believe that Jesus is really king, that we are guaranteed a spot in his coming kingdom, we can act out of the abundance we have in Christ and act sacrificially towards others. Sharing abundance in a world that is obsessed with scarcity will make people stop and take notice. Now, if I took a bullhorn and I stood out in front of the Bryn Mawr Film Institute, and I shouted about people about Jesus, and I'd be like, "Jesus loves you, read the Bible, come to church," you know, all the things that people with bullhorns shout. If I held up a sign, my sister down in Tennessee has always sent me pictures of this guy on the corner by their Walmart in kind of this heavy traffic area who holds up a sign, "Believe on Jesus," with a cross at the corner. If I did that out here, people would shake their heads or shake their fists or stop to argue with me, and I don't think it would move anyone closer to Jesus. If anything, it would probably move some people farther away from Jesus. But if I pick up trash, or I serve in a food pantry, or weed and plant and sacrifice my time and money and energy for the good of the community in the name of Jesus without any benefit to myself, people are left curious. Not angry, curious. Being community focused is an argument for Jesus that I believe is unrefutable. And we have a lot of arguments that we're taught in churches to make for Jesus and the resurrection, and I believe all those things, but a lot of those you'll get up in someone's face and it'll just turn into an argument, and neither person will be moving in a positive direction. If you serve people, it makes them curious. Curiosity leads to the Spirit stirring in their heart and them asking questions, and as a result of questions, you get to talk about Jesus because trust has been built. So, how are we doing? This is the first one that was really uncomfortable writing about how we are doing, because I don't think we're doing well. I remember a year or two in, I was talking with a local pastor of an established church, and he asked me, "What's all this serving in the community you're doing? It's like every month you're out doing something in the community. What's the goal of that? Are you just doing this to kind of get established in the area and get your name out there? Will you just give it up after a while and have like a serve day once a year, and this just becomes on the back burner?" And I remember telling him over coffee, we sat down over here at coffee shop, and I was like, "No, being community focused is a core value. It's an essential part of our identity. We're finding some avenue to serve the local community every month. That's never going to change. And about a year after that, there was a worldwide pandemic, and everybody was stuck in their homes. All these community meetings I was going to, Bryn Mawr Business Association, the Civic Association, the Beautification Committee, the Art Center, like, meeting. I was going to all these different things where I would hear about needs in the community and needs in Havertown and Haverford and Ardmore and Bryn Mawr. And I would be like, they'd be like, oh, there's this need. And I'm like, Horizon's going to help. They're like, there's this thing. And I'd be like, Horizon's going to pay for that. They're like, here's a problem with the businesses. And I'm like, how can Horizon help? All those things shut down. There were no more meetings. Everybody was inside their house. I had no idea what to do to help people. I had no idea if the church would even make it through COVID. And we all went from doing things in the community every month to not doing anything together at all. And slowly we returned. We started doing community things every quarter. Post-COVID, I had such low energy. I actually went to my doctor, and I don't know if it's long COVID or what, but my testosterone levels were so dangerously low. He's like, I don't know how you have energy to get up in the morning. I had no drive to do anything. I would work and sleep. And that's like all the energy I had. And then in January of 2023, you guys know I had a Vespa accident out here, and I came back pretty fast, but my knees were busted up. My knees were black for over 7 months. I couldn't get down on my knees. They hurt every time I walked. But I'm just like the person who like powers through and keeps going. I had injured my hand. They thought it was broken. It was in a sling for a while. I finally got it back, but I didn't have full hand strength for a while. For the first time in my life, I had back pain. That's what will happen when you hit the concrete real hard, you know? And it was like I was sore and tired. Then we got a daughter, and we lost our daughter, and then we got our daughter back, and our counselor was like, just because you have her back doesn't mean the grief in your body goes away. And she's like, grief makes your whole body tired, and I felt that acutely. In 2023, I was like running on fumes. To quote Lord of the Rings, 2023 felt like I was too little butter stretched over too much bread. I just think that's such a descriptive quote. You know, you ever feel like that? Too little butter scraped over way too much bread. In that year, what little community service projects we did dwindled to nearly nothing. Now, Leadership 101 says, don't expect people to be passionate about something that you yourself aren't caring about as a leader. So, this is on me, 2023. I had a lot going on, and I was like, look, some days it's hard for me to just get up in the morning, okay? Serve the community, I just don't have it in me. In 2023, I did not passionately pursue serving in the community. If you ask me, I would say, I believe in it. I think it's essential. We have to do it in order to change people's perspective on church, but I'm not practicing it. That's what I would have told you. Now, we are a small church, and we can't do everything. Probably at the beginning of the church plant, I was a little overeager. I thought I could do everything. I was still young. I thought, I'm going to burn out bright. I'm going to use every ounce of energy I have. We can't do everything. We need to be strategic. We need to be wise. We need to not burn people out. But this is a core value. And I really think it's essential if people in the community are going to take our message of Jesus seriously, we must show them we are about more than simply our bottom line and what benefits us. We need to be realistic. Life is busy. People are tired. I have a toddler. It feels like any extra energy I have is just like gone. Sometimes after she goes to bed, Darby and I look at each other and we're like, want to play a board game? Want to watch a movie? Want to do? And I'm like, I just want to lay on the floor and fall asleep. And I lay on the floor and fall asleep. And then she says, you're snoring. Go to bed. And I go to bed. And I'm like, what a life, you know? No, I love being a toddler dad, but I'm exhausted. Horizon doesn't have to do everything. There's lots of opportunities to be involved. We don't have to do everything, but we must do some things because this is a core value. And we must do it more often than we did last year, because last year I had nothing to give, and I gave almost nothing. Now, expect me to bring up more opportunities to serve in the community this year, and challenge me to do so if I don't. Don't just rely on me and be like, hey, remember when we used to like weed those beds along Main Street at Lancaster, and why don't we do that anymore? Remind me of those things. Like, sometimes I've forgotten. Sometimes it's just something that's fallen so far down that it's just not become a priority anymore. For a church to actively love a city, though, it's not just a strategy or a plan, but it's a culture in which the church members continually immerse themselves in the life of that city. That means, yes, we'll have serve projects, but it also means we need to find ways to positively impact our community and neighborhoods on our own in our daily lives. Not all of you live in this community. That's fine. Impact your community. Some of you work in this community. Impact the community where you work, if you work in this community or a different one. To be salt and light, a redeeming force for good, we need to be a catalyst for good wherever King Jesus has placed us. Our goal isn't to hide from our community. I know some churches, some friends of mine run churches, and they're like, the community's so bad, the culture's so evil, so we just huddle together in our building as much as we can, kind of like, you know, 90s Christians on Halloween where they turn out the lights, and they're like, all the bad people out there dressed up in costumes, you know, we're going to hide in here and pretend we're not home. That's not the avenue, I think, to transform culture. We're not going to just huddle together with like-minded Christians, but we're going to engage culture with all its ugliness and pain to see the issues in our community and not hop onto the Nextdoor app to complain about them or onto a Facebook community group to complain about them, but to see the issues in our community as opportunities for the Church of Jesus and us to share a glimpse of his coming kingdom. Horizon must continue to be community-focused. I've not led you well in that, but I'm going to do better. A community-focused church challenges the cultural assumptions about church, about Christians, and about Jesus. And that happens when we serve our neighbors sacrificially on an individual level, and when together we take actions to better the communities that we call home, that we worship in, and that we work in. Let's pray.